Yeah, we're just going to begin a series. I'm going to go through really what it is a lot of foundational things. It's about, you know, in the areas of faith. It's going to cover some major things in the next few weeks of teaching and that stuff we're going to do on this. Really the most important things about faith is looking at some of these areas. As I said, I took it from a teaching that Kenneth Hagin had done on mountain moving faith. It's in he has a book and also had a tape series and things that was done on mountain moving faith. And now some people see mountain moving faith and they think about, oh, this is some kind of special faith. No, mountain moving faith is what Jesus just designated as being faith. If you say on this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. And so really is dealing with Jesus' teaching. Now, there's one thing we find that lots of times with spirit-filled people over the years. I know with Kenneth Hagin, people used to always accuse him and ask him why he taught on faith so much, why he did that. And one of the things we need to understand about the subject of faith, it is the most important teaching in the Bible. It's the most important subject you can look at. Now, if you ask a lot of Christianity what's the most important subject of the Bible, they'd say love. And that isn't true. Because if you don't know how to walk by faith, you won't walk in love. You have to understand faith. We realize that faith worketh by love, but you have to understand and be able to comprehend what faith is. And the importance of faith is a fact that, you know, you can't be saved without faith. You know, we have in Ephesians 2:18 says, for grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. So faith comes from us, from God. There's no way to be saved other than through faith. I mean, and so that makes faith very, very important. Also, if we look at things, the Bible told us, and we've read many times in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. So, Hebrews 11:6. And Hebrews 11:6 tells us, you cannot please God without faith. So, and one of the reasons you can is it can't is the fact of is you never walk in love. You never do. You know, it requires faith. There's a trust in God, and we want to look at this subject. The 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us there that the concerning the Christian life is a walk of faith. It says we walk by faith and not by sight. So. As we're going to go over, and I'm just, you know, going over these things. We'll pick up on things and teach along these lines. Also, the only fight a Christian is told to fight in the Scriptures is a good fight of faith. That's the only fight, and that was in 1 Timothy 6:12. He told him to fight the good fight of faith. And so, really, that's the only thing that we're in, really, from a standpoint, if we look at faith and its importance, and we want to do in these teachings, there are certain things that we want to do. These teachings will be good for an individual, whether it be somebody who listens to this or downloads it offline or listens to it, is the fact if they don't understand the subject, they can develop and learn to walk by faith and learn to walk and live in it. But if we already understand things about faith, these teachings will just fortify us in our belief and in our faith walk. Lots of times what happens in the areas of faith is we get over in the areas and we learn things and we think, well, we arrive pretty much, we know stuff. And what happens is we sort of walk along for a period of time, and if we're not careful, you start to get away from the principles of faith. And it's getting ourselves back over to walk in the principles of faith again. It's making sure we're staying in line, keeping ourselves in walking by faith. We want to continue to do that. We're going to look at very familiar scriptures in starting off because of dealing in this subject in the areas of mountain-moving faith. We want to go over to Mark, the 11th chapter. And we're going to begin in Mark, the 11th chapter. And look here, Jesus, just a little introduction, Jesus had cursed a fig tree and one day and came back with the disciples the following day, and the tree had withered up, said from the roots, and the disciples were astonished by it, made a remark to him about it, and Jesus began to teach them. He began to teach them, really very interesting thing, because, you know, most of the Christian realm thinks that what Jesus did was something special, but he didn't tell them that. He didn't tell them that. It's one thing as I learned over the years is listening, teaching, and also studying the scriptures and the areas on the subject of faith. Faith has been made a very difficult thing by the way it's been taught. Faith is not some hard thing. I've heard over the years, I've heard people say, well, you know, it's not easy to walk by faith in this Christian life, sometimes hard life. And what they do is they really talk themselves into, you know, this is tough. And it's not. Because from a natural perspective, and I'm talking about natural faith, we need to understand this and as we go on in this teaching, is there is a natural human faith. The Bible doesn't teach us about natural human faith, you know, because you believe, you know, what some guy said on the news or something, and we say, I believe it, so, you know, that's faith. That's faith from man's standpoint. The Bible deals with the subject of faith has to do with believing God. That's the subject it is. When the Bible's talking about faith, it's not talking about just believing something in general. Because sometimes dealing with the areas of faith with God's Word is unreasonable to the natural. It is unreasonable. Most of the things that we do in the areas that we call faith in the natural are usually things that people seem pretty well, you know, that we figure, yeah, that seems reasonable, that seems all right, you know, and that there's good, I'll believe that. But sometimes, and we need to understand, we're dealing with the Word of God is running contrary to society and the things that are going on. And really, that's where people come into the areas and dealing with difficulty. The difficulty is because, not because faith is hard, it's because of what people believe. It's what I believe. It's what I choose to believe. And so that's what makes it difficult. But if you really come down to the areas of studying, the areas of faith, one of the things as we look all, and we're going to look here in starting in verse 22, because Jesus is being questioned. Jesus told them, the first step here is, he said to them, now in this is the New King James, it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now, I want to say this in stepping into this is having faith in God. Really, the literal Greek says, have the faith of God. The literal Greek translation. In fact, the Bible in basic English says, have God's faith. The Greek New Testament, in the Greek New Testament that I have, the Greek New Testament also says, have the faith of God. In other words, and we need to understand this. Now, see, some people say, well, you know, the King James says have faith in God. They go on through that. We need to understand, if you study the subject of faith, you would come to the conclusion that having faith in God was not what he's saying, because we're going to find out as we go on in teaching that the faith that we have is faith in God. It is given from God. God cannot give you a faith he doesn't have. He gives you one he got. The faith that we got, we heard, you know for scriptures, we'll talk about more about it. It says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. In other words, you and I cannot attain God's faith without God giving it to us. And so what we end up with was the same kind of faith that God operates in. Now, it's a little difficult sometimes for people to think, well, God operates in faith. Well, he sure does. I mean, think about what God does by faith. God speaks things about the future, and they come to pass. We just got done studying the book of Revelation. God spoke out the future, and you know what? You think it's going to happen any different than he said? No. But you know, he puts his word out by faith. In other words, God says words speaking concerning the future, and it's just like with us. Really, when we're dealing with the areas of faith, what we're doing is we're talking about believing something that doesn't exist at the time, and we're speaking it that in a future date it's going to be this way, or a future time it's going to be this. Is, in other words, there's going to be a change take place. This is going to happen. Because we go on to here in 22, the faith of God. Here's the faith of God. This is what God tells. And listen, Jesus, when Jesus speaks, he said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. So we could surely say that God himself is saying this. For assuredly, he said, I say to you, assuredly, and in that terminology you there, we would use in a court of law saying, I'm going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That's what he'd be saying here. He said, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now look, he spoke to a tree. Now he told these men, now, you know where he's standing? The Mount of Olives. That's why he said, if you say to this mountain, you speak to this mountain that you're standing on. See, they thought it was quite incredible, the tree. Jesus said, this ain't a big deal. Jesus told them, you can do this. He said, I talked to the tree. You can talk to the mountain. That's what he told them. Now, understand, do you realize he told them that they could do this? These guys aren't born again. Faith in God don't change because you get born again. If they believe the Word of God then, you speak the Word of God then, they could have the same things. You know, and now for us, we as born again Christians, it should be easier for us. It should be easier for us. And so I want you to do this. Get it out of your mind and out of your thinking of what you've heard with people talking about difficulty with faith, even what you may have said to yourself about, I have a hard time with this. You know, is getting yourself over is starting to think right. See, that's one of the things that I found over time. And I don't know why, but healing was, I learned to walk in healing and dealing with that area was very easy for me. And I think one of the reasons it was is because I didn't come from a medically inclined family. That was helpful. We didn't come from ones that you ran to the doctor every time something happened and they were, oh my God, you're going to die and all that. We weren't that kind of stuff. We didn't have that. So that was helpful growing up. I never thought the doctor was the last thing that, you know, on earth that, they're the big thing. I mean, the doctor. So, for me, you know, if not having that, see, people get over and they're taught and they're trained in that stuff from the medical side. That's why one thing I found very few Christians who have been able to work in the medical field and walk in faith with God about medical. They're always on the medicine side. They can't get away from it. They've trained in it, and they've trained in it usually to their own hurt. Now, it doesn't say you can't go over in it because there's some people that can do it, but most people can't. Most people get so medically inclined. And sometimes that's what you have to watch about yourself, about faith. You can get over into things and involved in things that really become detrimental to you. It's like somebody trying to walk in faith concerning money, and they work in a bank, and all they do is from a natural side with money all the time. Sometimes it can be very hard for them to believe God for money because they're always working all the time. Now, they could. You know, I learned to work in fields where you could turn around and have this stuff going on. But I look at a doctor. That's fine what they do and what they do to help you. Thank God there'd be a lot of dead people if it weren't for the doctors. But at the same time, I can believe I can put my focus on the Word of God. And you have to learn to do that. It's from the natural standpoint. And so what we're dealing with here, the disciples have come along. This is astounding to them that this tree has died. And Jesus makes a mark to them. I mean, I wonder what they... this is one thing you need to understand. He spoke this stuff to them. And as we go through in his teaching, you're going to find out they didn't get this thing right away because they go on down the line with all kind of stuff happening and they're still doing dumb stuff and don't get it. He has to talk to them about their unbelief. But he's teaching them. But understand this. This is all new to them. This is all new to them. They've never been... The Pharisees never taught this. Is just like most people today. The majority of Christians have never been in a church that has taught them what faith is. What does faith mean? Trust. They have no clue what faith is in the Bible. They don't even have any clue what it means. They just have these certain words that they've got out of a dictionary. And they say that, so they think they have it because they know the definition. That's not faith. Faith isn't a definition. Faith is a way of life. It's the way you do things. And the wonderful thing about faith is this. Faith can become so natural to you in an area that you will automatically do it not thinking. You can come to that. When I first started off in faith, was it work? Oh my God. I would have to just take everything I could to keep my mind focused, to keep myself, to say the right thing, to do the, you'd go through all this stuff. And you just work terrible at it. And then after a while though, it's like anything. It'd be like starting a new job you never did before. And you're on somebody, you watch somebody do a certain job and they make it so easy and you try to do it and it ain't easy. And then you work, but after a while you learn how to do it and it just comes just as that. You don't even think about it, you just automatically do things. And faith life can be the same way, yeah. It's number one. It's not easier for yourself, per se, and other people. The only reason it seems easier is because you're not putting up with what they put up with. You don't know what they're putting up with, and you think that seems easier. If you were attached to them, you'd probably think it's just as hard. See, I learned that a long time ago. A lot of people say, well, I could believe for the other guy. Well, can they? Are they really understand to believe for the other guy? Well, not really, lots of time, because number one, if you had to put on to what they have, say their sickness or their disease, you would have the same difficulty you had if you could feel it. So this is the whole thing. Is number one is get away from that kind of thinking anyhow. Move away from that. Faith's not about it's easier for the other guy, it's easier for this. Faith's the same no matter what. And think about it from the standpoint is people, and as we go along and studying this, people can have faith in their heart and doubt in their mind. That does not mean that you can't bring something to pass. See, faith is what you believe in your heart and say with your mouth. It's not what you believe in your heart and think. See, we need to be very careful. So one thing is I learned from Kenneth Hagin, and I was glad I learned from as a young Christian, because I think people went through a lot of difficulty, and this is one of the things of listening to the right teaching on the areas of faith. Most people are trying to walk by faith out of their minds. They're trying to get their mind in line with everything that's in their heart. Sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes your mind is going to give you a difficulty. That's the fight of faith. The fight of faith ain't the devil per se. The fight of faith is the fight is dealing with the mental thing, because what you see, what you feel, what your mind's thinking, that is in opposition to what's on the inside of you. On the inside of you, you know you're a child of God. On the outside, in your flesh, you go yield to your flesh and sin, and so your flesh says, and the devil says to you, "You scumbag! If you were you couldn't be saved, you'd have never done that," and tries to talk you out of what. And on the inside, though, you know you're saved. You know you're a child of God. But your outside will try to talk you out of it. But on the inside, and this is where it comes to, is learning, we have to learn, is the battle. This is the battleground, is the mind. The battleground is where the mind is. Siding what's on the inside or siding with what's on the outside. And see, that's when you're dealing with yourself, what you're dealing with is you're dealing with the feelings, what you see, feel, touch, taste, whatever. The other guy, you can't feel his stuff. You can't touch his stuff, taste his stuff. So you say, well, it's easier. Oh, my word, yeah, any sinner can do that. The whole thing of it is dealing with the fact of it is coming over. I was thanking God for, you know, Kenneth Hagin's teaching. I learned. I don't care what my mind's telling me. I don't care how unreasonable it seems. If I know inside, it's knowing inside I believe. That's all that matters. It's knowing inside. What faith is about what's on the inside. In Mark 11:23, listen to what Jesus says to them. He said, I say to you, he says, if you say in this mountain, be removed and be cast to sea. And what did he say? Do not doubt in his, he doesn't doubt in his heart. He didn't say, he don't doubt in your mind. You know, don't doubt your feelings. Don't doubt your, he didn't say that. Many Christians fail in the areas of faith, and it isn't because they don't believe. That's not what, they get over into reasoning. They're believing in their heart. Many times, people believe in your heart. In fact, look at this scripture. I'll read it to you again. This is what the Lord had Kenneth Hagin when he gave him the revelation of this scripture. He said to him, showed him this. He said to read through the scripture. So it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believe those things he says will be done. If he believes it's going to be done, he will have what he says. Now, the Lord said this to Kenneth Hagin. He said, when you read the part there, and the part what Jesus said, for assuredly I say, and then he made, here's the statement now that he's going to say. Now, I want you to see how many times it says the word say. He said, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says. What is it? He will be done. He will have whatever he says. Jesus said this to Kenneth Hagin. He said, you're going to have to teach people three times more on saying than believing. He said, people believe. It's the sayings where they have trouble. People usually say what's on their mind, on their feelings. Whether it's pain, whatever it is, or the troubles or problems or whatever they see about something. And he said to him, it says, the Lord showed this to him and told him. He said, it says the word three times. He said, you're going to have to teach three times as much about the saying part as you do the believing. And see, this is where it goes. If you want to stay on track, you must keep your mouth on track. Because your mouth is going to be... See, because you're going to have all kind of thoughts can come to your mind. It's just like right here tonight. I could say something that, derogatory toward the areas of faith, and you hear the thought, and that thought comes to your mind, but you have a thing, you can throw it out or keep it. That's up to you, the mind. And understand that. Just because a thought comes, that doesn't mean that that's what you're believing. Learn to know the difference. See, I believe what the Word of God says. I believe this is true. I believe that if I can speak to a mountain, and I could do that, I could speak to a mountain, and if I would tell it to remove, I believe in my heart that's the truth. That thing's true. So anything my mind says outside of that, that can't be true. It is the easiest thing is to make a decision and start to say things like, I believe what the Bible says, and I don't care what anything else says. Saying that a lot. Don't matter. People, and it's one thing you have to just learn about around people. You're going to be in a small class of people. Because most people, and nice people, I'm not talking about bad people, nice people don't know how to believe. They don't know how to believe God. They don't know biblical believing. They don't know how it works. And understand, you're going to be around people that don't understand it. Don't get upset at it, but don't go along with them either. Don't go along with them. You know, sometimes you just got to, they say something, you just got to keep your mouth shut. But don't go along with the talk with it, because if it's contrary to what you believe, you start to say it, your mind, it's amazing how your brain follows the way that you talk. Your thinking will start going in line with that, you know. And so what you want to do, it's just like from the standpoint, you know, the Bible says whatever's good, whatever's perfect, pure, and all that stuff. Think on these things. See, it's one of the things. You can't think on whatever. You can't talk differently than you want to think. You can't listen to people talking differently than you want to think. You can't make the habit of that. You know, we do get around people we have to work with sometimes. They're always saying crazy stuff and that stuff. But I've learned I can turn people off. I can pretty well ignore it, let them do their talking. You can't concentrate on what they're doing and what they're saying. You got to maintain the way that you think. You can do it without being mean to people and stuff and things around. You know, I realize, you know, where people are coming from, and I realize what they say. I realize you get around sinners, they'll curse and they'll do different things. And, you know, I don't try to correct them all on it because, you know, they're going to hell whether they talk right or not. If you don't get saved, you don't get to save because you talk right. You know, you get saved. And I realize that. But I've worked around Christians already and that stuff, and when people, a certain way that they talk or they do things and stuff, and they were just all the time bent out of shape. And I knew that they could never live much of a faith talk because everything bent them out of shape all the time. They were always frustrated all the time about what was going on around them. They couldn't walk by faith. You know, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I can walk by faith and be successful. You know, I can get around heathens and I can live just as much by faith around a heathen as I can around most Christians. learning to do that. Learn to be. Don't let it faze you. Don't let it bother you. My responsibility is not what they do. That's not. I can't change their life. I ain't God. My God, if Jesus can't straighten them out, it can. You know, and what we do is we just love them and pray for them. And you get an opportunity to throw a little tidbit in there every once in a while. Throw it in there for them and that stuff. Pray for them and that things. But so we have here is Jesus, his statement that Jesus is making to them. Jesus is speaking to them. And we need to get it. You know, Jesus, if you really look at what's saying here, like we put these things in the Bible, but and we make it like this big, spiritual thing. But, you know, Jesus seems to be talking to this guy. It's just pretty natural. He's having a conversation with him. They ask him about this. They say, whoa, man, look at his tree. What about this? He said, oh, you know, big deal. Come here, guys. He said, you know, you have the faith of God. This is what you can do. He wasn't telling, you got to be the son of God. Oh, man, that's what most people believe. That's what most ministers believe. You know, Jesus could do that. You can't do it. They believe, he told the disciples, they can do it. These unsaved guys, they believe we're more spiritual than the church is. And they preach that they are. So messed up. And it's not. He's talking very casual. And so look at it. Begin to get the idea that faith is not hard. It's like with me, I refuse to say faith's hard. Because it's number one, God designed you and I and created humanity and the earth that we can choose whatever we want to believe. If faith is hard, it's because I've made it hard. Because it's not I choose what I want to believe. I choose. And think about it. It's just that easy. You know, people say, "Wow, some that's hard to believe the Word of God." No, it's not. I just decided I'm going to believe the Word of God. You know, sometimes, I mean, I look at the Bible and I think, man, wow, I'm not there yet. But that's true. I believe that that's true, no matter I can walk in it or not. That's true. And I'm not going to have a discussion with somebody who sits around and tries to convince me it's not right. Because they'll just be blowing wind. I ain't paying no attention. I decided that the Bible's true. And just decide that the Bible's true. I don't care what somebody in their surveys and studies and stuff and things and what they found out and this stuff and that and what some guy who has, you know, is 4 PhDs, most of them ain't no more than post hole digger. They got all this stuff. I don't care what they found out. The Bible says it's true. I'm just going to just accept it as that fact. That the Bible says let God be true and every man a liar. So I'm not going to go against it. And there's one thing I learned that really helped me, because you know I listened to Kenneth Hagin teach, and that's the way he was. And I just learned to pick up what he did. Is that, you know, the Bible's true. That's just it. Whether it's working for me or not, it's true. That's the truth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk toward that. That's what I'm after. And getting yourself over it, I can believe the Word of God. God wouldn't have told you to believe, and you couldn't have. And so Jesus went on to say to him, we'll look at some more things. But Jesus went on in verse 24, he says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them." I mean, just look at that statement. He just threw that statement right out to them. He just threw that out to them. He just put it right out there. He said, "Hey, I'm going to say this to you guys. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it." Sometimes God says yes, sometimes He said no. You see, and this is one of the things. Here's battles. The battles come by the religious things we were taught. I'll tell you, I could take you downtown, I could take you right downtown here and take you in the bars. And I want to tell you what, people in there, that most of them had hardly even ever went to a church in their life, have the same religious beliefs that a lot of Christians have. Oh, they believe, you know, God just don't do everything. He won't always answer a prayer. He won't always, you know, we just sort of try to beg Him to get Him to do something. We want help. Religious brainwashing has gone on so well. They have the unbelief of the church has done so well at getting into people that they don't expect God. And then they wonder why people come along and they'll say to them, you know, "Well, do you want to serve God?" "Well, no, I have nothing to do with God." "Why not?" "Well, you can't count on Him." "You taught us that." "You taught us you can't count on Him." Understand, faith, the whole point about faith is the fact that of anything that God has said that I believe and I can walk in, God will have to do, God will have to honor, God will have to. There is no doubt to it. If there is, then it cannot be faith. Understand, I'm going to make a statement. Faith is where the will of God is known. If you don't know what God's will is, you cannot have faith. You cannot. You don't know what He said about it. Just like an individual. You can't have a faith in an individual would do something for you if they didn't tell you that they were going to do it. Somebody said, "I'm going to come over tonight and help you do such and such at your house." Now, from a natural perspective, you could have a faith that person, because they said something that they would do. Well, somebody, when they talk about, and I was born and raised in a church, and all they ever talked about was blind faith. And what they were talking about, blind faith. You didn't have a clue what God was going to do, but we're believing. They wouldn't believe in a thing. Now, they weren't being bad people. They had this religious junk that was taught them, but they didn't really understand what faith was about. Faith is not being blind. Faith knows what it's going to get. If I pray and believe I'm going to receive it, He said, if I can do that, then I know I'll have it. Then I'm going to have what I said. I'm going to have that thing I prayed for. That's mine. So therefore, I can see, can I? See, faith has sight. Faith says, "Look, I got that thing, belongs to me. That was mine. I asked for it, and I received it. It's mine. I received it. I have it. It belongs to me." You see, so it's never blind. Faith is never blind. Faith is blind naturally from the standpoint, you know, it looks like you don't see the answer. But faith has eyes into the spirit realm, that your inner man knows it belongs to you. That guy's doing the believing. And your inner man can see it. Your inner man knows it. The real you knows it belongs to you. See, the believing's going on in the inside. The believing ain't going on in the mind. Because, see, this is where people they have trouble with the mind. Why? They're trying to operate it in the mind. Faith cannot operate in the mind. Faith in God does never operate in the mind. It don't operate there. Now, this is one thing you can find out about faith, what will happen, because my body has gotten used to, and my mind has gotten used to me doing things by faith concerning healing and things, where now they don't give me trouble about it. They don't fight me like they used to. My body used to fight me. My body used to yell at me. my mind would yell at me. I didn't just have the devil yelling at me. I would have my own mind say, "What's wrong with you, you crazy person?" Your mind's yelling. But you know what? Over time, it's just like your body from a natural standpoint. You know, you could just be a person, say, never went to work out at a gym or do something like that. You start going every day to the gym after months. Your body go down there and your body won't complain about it at all. Your body will just go do it. When you first start going down there, it's like, yes, oh my God, I got to get it. And your body's saying, could we sleep a little longer today? Could we? Is that right? But what happens after you do it a period of time? Your body will get used to it. Faith operates. I'm serious. Faith, you know, it's just in the same with money. I'll tell you, my flesh would, you know, at first in dealing years of money, it was a hard time. Now, it's not a hard time. It got used to it. Now, my mind is used to the fact that I will do, Wanda and I will do some crazy things with money. But it gets used to it. See, we're not following in line with what everybody else does and in the how things are done. We're not following. We're following in line with the Word. You know what? We believe it's real and it's true. We don't see it physically like people do, but we know it's going to work and it's going to manifest back to us. We know we're going to have it. That's the way it works. But it wasn't that easy to start with. But see, what it is, you start to practice. The practice is what throws people off. That's why, like people, you know, just like going to the gym. You know, you get down here and tell you, most people, if you took them down here to the gym, you'd say, you know, they'd say they want to work out, and you got them down there a few times, three or four times, they quit. Because why? They want to see results immediately, so they quit doing it. That's why the Bible says don't get weary in well-doing. We're talking about faith. You maintain doing something, it becomes a habit. And after a while, even your mind and your flesh start to get in line with it. And we're like, they won't bug you like they did before. And that's why it's to keep practicing it and keep practicing. And the fact, you know, you like these things of faith, because as you study faith and as you develop in this area, you're going to find that you're going to keep growing in this area. You don't ever come to a place where you reach it. So when I look today to what I understand how faith works to where I started out, man, it's a big difference in between. But I couldn't ended up where I'm at now. I couldn't have came to this point had I not learned and started off and walking where I did. You know, it's like a child. You can't get a child to, you're not going to get a child to jump. Do you ever see a kid that, you know, it doesn't want to walk, he just wants to run? And, you know, you're picking them up all the time, man. They're just, you know, you got to slow them down. Get them learning to walk and in there. Get them on. Sometimes people do that. They just get out there with their faith. And they want to be where the guy was that's been walking the past 30 years in it. And they want to arrive at that spot. Well, you can go to that spot, but it does take time. It takes development. But the more you can get over in the areas where you walk and believe, just like with Jesus, is when you read these things, read them as just, this is normal. This is the normal way of a Christian walk. This is the normal way of living. This is not some extreme. This is the normal. We speak to things. We talk to stuff. We say things to things. There's a lot of times I never pray about things. People say, well, you pray about it. No, I don't pray. I talk to it. I say what I'm going to have, and I'm going to tell it what it's going to do. The Lord told me to animate objects and the things, you talk to them. You don't pray about them. Jesus said, he didn't say, pray about the mountain. He said, you talk to mountains. Do you notice Jesus didn't pray about storms? He talked to them. Practice what Jesus did. Don't practice what Christians do. Practice what Jesus did. You're going to find out you're going to have success. I learned early in my walk in the areas of things to talk about, talk to, and things to pray about. Most people are praying about things they need to talk to, and they're talking about things they need to pray. And that's why things don't work. Is understanding animate objects Jesus spoke to. He told them how they were going to be. In the earth, we say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. In the earth, we speak to. Demon powers, we don't pray about them. We talk to them. We tell them what they're going to do. See, and there's things that the Scripture says, and it's learn to do that. Learn to use your voice is to speak to stuff, things around you. You want changed around you? Learn to talk to those things. I learned as a young Christian to talk to storms. That's where I started in doing that, talking to storms. You know, I first started off, but didn't, you know, I wasn't really really great at it, you know, because you're learning this stuff. But as I developed and learned, I learned to talk to things and say things. And if stuff comes along, the storms through the area, it gets really nasty around our place. And I just walk out, look out across our place, and I say, ain't nothing going to get torn up here. The devil ain't tearing up my yard. He ain't tearing up my stuff. He ain't doing that. I see some people, oh, storm's coming, let's pray. Well, you go ahead and pray. I already took care of it. We took care of that. We spoke to it. We spoke to that storm, what it can and can't do, what it's not allowed to. See, people let them come and tear it up at their place. You know, it's just like out there in Missouri. What's there you cross the they had the big tornado came through? Joplin, Missouri. It's right at the border of Oklahoma and Missouri there. And there's a house sets. And I remember hearing the testimony about it. It just blew me away. It's a black lady. Her whole street, everything's gone. Her house is standing. Everything in front of her, back of her, all around her is gone. A house standing, not tore up. And she was standing in the house and the storm was coming. And she said, Lord, I ain't got no place to go, and you're going to take care of me. She said, you ain't going to let this storm destroy my house. She said, I'm staying here, and you're going to. She just told the Lord straight out what was going on, and her house didn't get touched. The storm came up, lifted over her house, and dropped down the guy's next door. Now, the guy next door might have been a Christian, but he wasn't saying the right stuff. It don't matter if he is a Christian. It's been, well, you know, he's worried about his house going to get tore up. And her house, I mean, they showed the picture of her. Everything around her is destroyed. Her house is sitting there. See, using your voice. I always tell you the story of one of our instructors at Rhema told us about, and he had been a pastor for numbers of years. And down in Georgia, he had just taken over as a pastor in a community, and I've told the story about they had flooding in the community, and he went down there after the flooding in the one community is a low-lying area, and he went down, everybody was flooded out, and he went down there, people were cleaning their houses out, and it was a mess on it. And he come down, there's one lady that went to his church, and she's sitting up on her porch, and she's sitting up there not doing anything anymore. What's going on? He walked up to her place, said, hey, you didn't get any water, you need help? And she said, oh, no, I don't need no help, no water got in my house. And he looked, and he thought, because you could see a water line up around her house. I mean, it was a good part up the house. Yeah, no water got in our house. He said he walked in the door of the house, and her house, no water inside. No water inside the place. And then she told him a story of what happened. She said they told him the water was going to come. And see, what she had listened on the subject of faith. And she started to say, she said, that water can't come in my house. And they told them, so what they were doing, they're evacuating the area, moving everybody. She said, I ain't going nowhere. She said, that water ain't allowed my house. She said, that water can't come here. And she stood there, and the water kept coming up and rising, rose up across her yard. She's out there, this water can't come in my house. She said, the water kept riding. She said, I backed up on the steps to the porch. And she said, till the water kept rising. And she said, I kept backing up. She said, the water come up on the porch. And she said, like I said, the water can't come in the house. And she said, my son is a witness. And her son did witness to it. And he wasn't a young boy. He was, they said like he was in his late 20s or something like that. She said, he bears witness to it. She said, the front door was open. She said, the water rose up. And the water was 3 feet deep in front of the door. And the water didn't come in the door. The water just stopped. She said you could stick your hand right out into the water, through it, pull it back, but the water wouldn't come in the house. So, but this is what she said to him. She said, my word, she said, I messed up. She said, I know better next time. She said, this comes. She said, the water won't even get on my property. She said, I ain't going to let it on. But she said, I just kept saying it wouldn't get in the house. She said, I didn't even have to let it on the porch. But see, and that's in the areas of faith. Now, what you think about? Now, think about it. And like he said, this woman was just a common woman, lived there, not educated, anything like that. She just believed the Word of God. And understand this. You don't have to have any kind of great intellectual thinking or anything to believe the Word of God. You don't have to. This whole thing, I believe God wants us to be educated and stuff like that. But most people, they let their education go too far with them from the standpoint that they reason too much, they think too much, spend too much time thinking about things, trying to figure things out. You don't have to figure faith out. You just have to believe it's so. You don't have to understand how faith works to get it to work. All you got to know is just do what the Word says about faith. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. You don't have to figure it out. This is everybody's always trying to figure things out. I don't have to figure it out. That's not my job. My job is to believe God, do what the Word says, and He has to carry it out. And see, when we get over in the area trying to figure it out, that's when we step over on God's side to be God. And people talk about faith, but really they're not in faith. They're trying to control what's going on. I don't have to. God is required to carry out His Word. He must. If I believe His Word, and you believe His Word, and you've done what the Word says, He must carry it out. He has to. He's going to have to fulfill it. He got to. Or what good's His Word? What good is it? You know, God's not a liar. So Jesus, when He's speaking about these things, Jesus, there's one thing He did tell us in verse 25, and He says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. In other words, somebody done something to you, forgive them. That's what we have to do, is we have to forgive people. So we know this, that that's tied to faith. Unforgiveness will really affect people's faith. That's one thing it will affect people's faith, is unforgiveness. People do things. That's why, to me, faith is a wonderful thing to understand, because if you understand how to operate by faith, your feelings won't dominate you. Your feelings might get out of control sometimes, but they won't dominate you. You can tell people who understand faith and who don't. People who don't understand faith, their feelings dominate them. And so they'll say, it's hard to forgive. I want to tell you what, it is the easiest thing in the world. Why? My nature and your nature as a born-again Christian is to forgive. That's our nature. It is hard not to forgive. It's hard not to forgive. Why? Because you have to go against your own nature. You have to go against your own nature not to forgive. That's totally ridiculous. When people say it's hard to forgive, no, it's not for a Christian. It is against my nature not to forgive. In other words, my conscience will bug me not to forgive. See, people say, well, you know, it's just hard to forgive. Well, what happens is they have lived, never got over to learn to walk by faith, and they just live in the flesh. And to them it seems, how on earth could you do this? But see, that's why the faith life is so wonderful. That's why you can't walk in love except by faith. You can't do it. It's faith is what allows you to live out of what's on the inside of you. It allows you to do that. It's like I said, so we're talking about having God's faith, or faith like God has it. That's what we're doing. Hallelujah. So really, Mark 11:23 is really God's definition of faith. It's how it works. You believe something and you say it. You don't doubt it in your heart. See, this believing. Believe in your heart and do not doubt. That's the beginning of faith. Say what you believe in your heart with your mouth. That's what faith is. Faith believes something and don't doubt it. Where's the doubting at? It isn't sincere. Don't doubt in your mind. See, this is where people miss it. Their heart's in faith. The doubt comes to their mind. And what do? They've listened to all these preachers who said, well, the heart only wants to do evil and blah, blah. Start thinking, my mind is not my inner man. My inner man believes the Word and believes it's true. My mind can say something else. But that doesn't change what's in my heart. If I will say what's in my heart, I can bring it to pass. Or I can say what's on my mind. You know, it's like I said, give you a piece of my mind, don't give any away, you need all you can get. But see, this is what it is. You can be over in areas. Doubt can come to the mind. There's many things. I mean, knowing, it's like, how many times I've told the story about when I had a heart attack. Now, there was definitely, I'm going to tell you, the devil was talking to me. Now, I don't know if it's Lucifer personal, but there was definitely a demon talking to me. And he was speaking loud words to my mind. But you know what? There's one thing I knew. This stuff's going on in my mind. But in my heart, inside of me, I knew I had it. I knew I was delivered. I knew it. I knew on the inside. I knew it. Outside, didn't look nothing. Didn't look nothing like it. But in the inside, I knew it. And that's when it knocked me down. And when I got up, I said, devil, you have nothing to do with this. And this isn't between me and you. This is me and my God. And by Jesus' stripes, I was healed. And so, but it's speaking, saying what's on the inside of me, I knew it was true. I knew it was true. My mind, what was going, see, there was thoughts being bombarded to my mind. Even though I wasn't, my mind, you know, my mind didn't like, because I was in pain and things like that, so your brain's picking all that up, and then you got the devil yelling at you. And I know this, if I'd have had most Christians around me, they'd have been siding with the devil on what I ought to do. Now, I'm not saying they're bad, but if people don't understand faith, I've learned this. If you get over the areas of learning and operating faith, most people misunderstand you. They'll think you're arrogant. They'll think you a lot of things because they don't know faith. They don't know the difference between faith and just boasting. And they don't know what it is. They don't understand that. And so, there's one thing about it. Look, Jesus was a man of faith, wasn't he? Did he get misunderstood a lot? Yes, he got misunderstood all the time. He faced opposition, even among his disciples. They didn't know what to do with him. It was, my God, this man's strange. He does weird things, you know. Oh, you know. And so, and understand that. Because people who don't understand faith, that's just the way it is. But, you know, in life, would I not grow up because people around me don't understand what it is to grow up? See, a lot of people are like that. They stay like the people around them and never go nowhere and always end up nowhere because they want to be like everybody else around them and all that kind of stuff. So they never really develop, never really mature. They'll stay, and that's why I found you want to get around mature people so you can mature. That helps a whole lot than hanging around with people. You know, we may go out and minister to a lot of different people, but who I really hang out with is another thing. And you want to find people of faith-wise, you know, that you can hang out with. I found sometimes, you know, and even there's people that I could be more hang out with that necessarily were not in the so-called faith camp. But their confidence in God was greater than a lot of the people within faith camp. They had a better reasoning about God. And they were better to be around. You know, they weren't so sometimes negative and the problems that happen. And, oh, man, you know, they're, you know, because some people, and learn to do with yourself, is standing. Understand, you know, when we started off in the areas of faith, when I started off, really, I was really listening to loads of teaching and studying and stuff. Rwanda didn't have as much at first. And I had to learn, I had learned this, is not to say certain things to Wanda, because I knew that if I'm standing in an area of faith, it would be hard for her to do that. Or today it's not. Don't have that problem. But it would have been hard for her to do that. And I had learned to keep my mouth shut. I learned to say things I'm believing and I, you know, don't say anything. Because at first she thought I was insane. She couldn't understand. Well, how can you just pray and do that and then just act like nothing's wrong? And just she didn't understand that. Well, sure, she just started off. And I had a little bit of head start into her and that stuff. And once she started getting in her, she figured out how it worked. Well, then it was okay. You know, she could do that. But it was a hard thing. And understand, you're going to be around people and understand that, because it's sort of like casting pearls before swine. Don't be surprised that they turn on you when you've told them something. Now, sometime you may have to tell somebody something. You know, and you may have to say something, and you know, sometimes people are going to get angry if you say it anyhow. But sometimes you don't have to say things, and it's better off standing in faith where you understand it is. I mean, it's just like when the one incident where Wanda, where Alyssa had a concussion and stuff and things, and when Wanda called on the phone to work, and I answered, they told me to go out and call home. I had an emergency, and I called home, and Wanda said, Alyssa's throwing up blood, and what am I going to do? And this is what I, because I didn't want to say anything right there to her, so I just said, I'm going to talk to God. I'll call you back. Hung up the phone, because I knew. See, it's number one. I want to keep myself over, because right now we're in a position we need God in this thing. So I don't need to be moved off. And I'll never forget, I said to the Lord, okay, Lord, what's going on here? And the Lord said to me, I thought you said you believed this morning she was healed. I said, you're exactly right, she's healed. I called Wanda right back up, didn't give her time to talk to me. Don't worry about it, she's healed, she'll be fine, go back. I thought, poor Wanda, she's... I thought I'd get home, she's going to shoot me. But she didn't. She got home, Alyssa was completely healed. And that was only like in fact, it wasn't long before leaving work that she had called. Until I got home from work, Alyssa was completely healed. So, but you know what? That incident was a big thing that changed her, that helped her to understand what I was doing. But see, I didn't want to sit and discuss it with her because I thought, man, I'm going to move off of this thing because the Lord had rebuked me that morning for getting into unbelief. So all this stuff took place in between for that day because I had gotten in unbelief overnight. I'd gotten into unbelief and got me in the morning. The Lord got me back over in the areas of faith, and I was saying the right things. I began to speak the right things and say the right things again. I got things back under control. I got on the inner man instead of things that are going on the outside. Well, and really, so reason things took the time that they did, it wasn't God's fault. It was Ed's fault. And so I had to learn those things. They're just things that we gotta pick up and learn as we go along. You know, there's one thing about it. You're going to have to experience faith. You have to experience it. And sometimes, you know, with being the things, you're experiencing new things and that stuff. And when the fight comes, it's just dealing with what your mind is. It's dealing with your mind. That's where it is, the battle. All these people talk about, many times, I battle my own mind as my biggest battle. It ain't the devil. It ain't the problem. It's my mind. And I'm dealing with that. And I got to keep my mind in line with the direction I'm believing to go. And I have to do that. And that's the thing, is learning to control the way that you think. And one of the best things to do is to do that is using your voice. There's one thing about it when you're using your voice. And that's one thing is I love teaching and preaching because I am speaking the things that these things out. I'm not just reading them and studying them. I'm speaking them out and my mind hears my voice saying them. And you know what? And it does. It puts my mind at ease, my mind at rest. It works. Speak. You know, people say, you talk to yourself? Sure enough, if you don't, you're an idiot. They tell you crazy if you talk to yourself? I'm going to tell you what. You know, people don't talk. You've got to be saying the right things. Because when you're in a battle of thoughts in your mind, you can sit there and turn around and try to bring it under control. I don't know how to bring it under control other than my voice. My voice will bring it under control. Or I got to turn on somebody else's voice, maybe teaching on something. But I need a voice. I need a voice. It's amazing, the power of voice. The power of voice will move a mountain. If anything religion wants you to do is keep your mouth shut. Religion wants you to don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing. Just, you know, be quiet. Don't speak to that mountain. Don't talk to that thing. Don't do that stuff. You know, don't walk around here and that. You know, just walk around with your hands folded, your head down, and whoa, yeah. Woe is me. Yeah. Especially when you have some scripture. Saying what the word says. Speak, that's it. Speaking what the word says. Say what the word says about it. Say the word says this. But you know, talk about it. You know, this is the way this thing's going to be. This is the way it's going. I don't care. I don't care what anybody else says or anything. This is the way it's going to be. I'm speaking in the direction. Continually speaking. Encourage yourself. You know, it's one of the things is encourage yourself in the Lord. You do that by speaking the right things because your mind's always trying. There's that battlefield, and it is. It's a terrible battlefield. But this is I want you to understand this. This is the same kind of faith that God used in the creation of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the trees, the plants, the animals. He did the exact same thing. He spoke them into existence. He said, and it was. And all he's doing is telling us, if you take my words and you say them, you can have the same results. That's my word says. See, when Isaiah the prophet said, my word shall, God, he's speaking of God's words, he said, my word shall not return unto me void without accomplishing what I sent it to do. That's what God said. God said, just like the rain that comes down, causes plants to grow and causes the grass to grow and everything, he said, my word's the same way. He said, you speak my word back. Say my word. It'll do the same thing. Just like the grass grows, whatever you said is going to grow. That's what's going to grow. That's what's going to happen. See, you're saying those things. You're speaking those things. You talk just inside, just like the word says it, and you're going to have that thing. Jesus said, you tell that mountain to move. You don't doubt in your heart. He didn't say you have to go out there and 5,987 times a day talk to that mountain and then go down there and then get a prayer meeting going out and you got to get 50 other people to agree with you and then you got to get down here after a while and you'll have to have 1,000 more come out and pray. He said, if you do that, just think of the power in a Christian, the power of our own human spirit, the power of speaking words that are in your spirit to say. That's one thing, you want to put the right words in there, you don't put bad words in there. Because people do bring stuff to pass by keep speaking stupid stuff and it gets in their spirit and they begin to speak it and speak it. And you don't want to do that. So God created, now like I said, God created everything that we know in here on this planet. He created in this manner. There's only one thing that He didn't create that way, and that was mankind. That's why that any Christian comes along, and I've had Christians, you know, and Christian ministers and stuff, and they sort of go along with evolution and stuff. Man could not have evoluted from animal. Man was not created like animal. Man was formed by God. He was not spoken into existence. Man was formed and breathed into him the breath of life. He was not. He was created in the image of God. He was not created like an animal. Anybody or any Christian that believes those things, they're going to always have trouble in the areas of faith because they're just going to be an animal. They're just going to be, I'm just a higher form of an animal. You need to understand and see yourself in the light of what God made you. God formed man to be what man is, not created. He didn't speak man into existence. He formed him. In fact, you look up the word formed, it means it really is a sculpture. He formed man. Then he breathed into him the breath of life. That's what he did to man. We're not evoluted from animals. Not at all. See, that was one of the things. Really, what started off today, what ends up to where our nation is at today, started up back way beyond when they turned around and let the teaching come in about the monkeys and all that kind of stuff. And we came out of that and said, that's where, well, hey, killing animals, it don't matter. So you kill kids, you kill babies, it don't matter. You start doing all that stuff. You go down through, hey, we came out of animals, let's act like animals. We shouldn't be surprised. People act like animals. They've told they are ones. They're told by ministers that they are. They're told by people they are. No, you're not an animal. You're created in the image of God. Think about it. Fallen man was created in the image of God. The devil would have us over living like animals. That's what he would have us do. Over there living like animals. You're not an animal. And think of yourself. Think of yourself. I mean, really, you have come back into the state that God did through Jesus Christ to bring you back in, to put a spirit within you. Your own human spirit within you is created in the likeness and image of God. Back into fellowship with God again. You're not an animal. No animal has that. No animal can have that. Animals can't have it. It's a total impossibility. They can't. Animals are created beings. Man is not. Man's formed. He was not created. He was formed. He was formed. And God breathed into man the breath of life. He never breathed into animals the breath of life. He didn't do that. The breath of life was spirit. That's what it was. He put spirit. The breath he put into you and me was spirit. We're the only beings in the earth that have spirit. No other being has a spirit. Not one. No animal has a spirit. Now they'll say, oh, the spirit of a horse and that stuff. They ain't got no spirit. They're just created beings. They were just spoken into existence. You know, their form and image isn't like God. It's not at all. And so when we think about it, this is why it's walking by faith. If we understand these things, it helps us understand who and what we are. Faith is the natural thing for a saint of God. Faith is natural. Faith is not something odd or weird or something different. This is natural for the saint. It's natural, really, for humans, really, to walk in the Spirit. Adam was created to do that. When Adam got over in the flesh and sin, the first thing he did, he started worrying about the outside. Where's he going? Hey, man, I ain't got no clothes on. First thing he thought about was the outside. God's coming to fellowship, and he's looking for clothes. Said, man, I had fellowship with God the day before. He's out there fellowship with God. Didn't think a thing about the clothes. He got into sin, first thing he did, the outside. Oh my God, what am I going to look like? Got to get the clothes on. I'll tell you what, we got to do something out here. But see, the outer became what was important. And in other words, and really what happened is Adam lost his innocence, that innocence they had. They lost that through sin. And boy, hasn't sin destroyed the innocence of people? I mean, my God. Just destroys the innocence. But see, man, remembering who we are and getting ourselves back over in the areas of faith, this is the natural place for us to walk. It's not something odd for us. It's natural. It's natural for a Christian to believe the Word. That's the normal. That's the norm. It's not unnatural. You know, somebody might try to convince you and the devil might try to convince you something else. Don't you believe it? It is just natural for you to believe. That's the way we were made. Understand, you got born again because of believing. That's what you are. You are a believer. As we go on, we're going to teach about, you know, our faith. That is just a natural thing that we are, is to believe. Every believer every believer has faith or they're not a believer. See, everybody's saying, well, yeah, I just don't have faith. You have faith, you just got to learn to develop. But you can't develop it talking like you ain't got it. You have it. You know, you have it. I mean, think about when a baby's born. You know, look, a baby, and you go out there and take that little thing, a cute little thing. But you look at it, you know, and if a baby's born and has all its toes and fingers, it has everything that's there. But it's not developed completely yet. It's not up walking around and doing stuff. But everything's there. We don't say, oh, that ain't a baby. Because it ain't walking. It ain't a baby. Oh, no, that ain't a baby. I can't talk. I can't be a baby. Well, no, we don't. We know it's human. We know it's all of it. Well, it's going to develop. It's going to develop, and it's going to develop in some. We don't. It becomes a human when it turns around and can do everything. We don't do that. And we need to get under the areas of faith. We have faith, or you wouldn't have been saved. You weren't born again if you didn't have faith. So you got faith. Now that faith has to be developed. That faith has to, and you can take that faith that you got by the word of God, which God will give you more word. And see, that's what we're going to find. It's the important part is God will give us the word to develop us. God will gift people, and so people may have faith in areas. Maybe another one won't have faith as much in a certain area because they're gifted, like in the areas of teaching. Now, I'm not gifted in teaching because I'm smart. I'm gifted in teaching because that's a gift God gave me. Now, I can walk in an area over here in a certain office I stand in. I can operate in faith where another person couldn't because they don't stand in that gift. But that don't make me special. But for our own individual lives, faith is exactly the same for everybody. It's the same. No person, you know, because all the times I've heard, well, you know, God healed so-and-so because he was a minister. Now, that's the biggest lie you ever heard. Don't ever believe anything like that. God don't heal people because they're ministers. God heals people because of faith. And I know loads of ministers can't get healed. They don't learn developing faith in it. And yet I know people over here on the other side, and they aren't in many of those kind of ministries, and they understand how to walk in faith and get healed. They understand that. Why? Because faith's the same for everybody. It's not any different. You're on the blessing of your life. Because a guy stands in an office, he doesn't get special treatment by God because he stands in an office. He has to walk with faith. He has to walk with faith, just like anybody else does. And you can be blessed and have any blessing of God just by walking in faith. Whatever the Bible says is for us, you can have it. You can believe God and receive it. You can. And so you need to get over there thinking. Move away from a lot that's people's ideas and how they think it works. And then somebody over here is special. Ain't nobody special. Ain't nobody special in the group. Nobody. Billy Graham ain't no one that's more special than Ed Gibson is. You know, there's one thing about it, I know this, there's things I believe and I know is in the Word that he don't. There's areas I have faith that he don't have no faith in. See, I choose to believe certain things. He chooses not to. See, he don't get to operate in faith in that area just because he stands in an office. Just because in certain areas he's really perfected himself and over the years he perfected himself to walk in certain things, he don't get the other stuff because he learned that. It doesn't work that way. Everybody's the same. So don't ever look at somebody special. The only thing that's special is Jesus. He's special. But don't look at that. That's why those things will help your faith a lot, because you won't think anybody else has an advantage over you. God, you know, he'll take care of somebody else, won't take care of you. And that's lose all those thoughts and those things out there. The faith, you can walk by faith. Hallelujah. God will bless you as quick as he'll bless anybody. Hallelujah. When you stand on the word, he'll do it for you as quick as he'll do it for anybody. Glory to God. There's some things that as we go on this, I'll teach you certain things that I learned through experience that I learned and walking in these areas, how to bring some things to pass quicker, how to learn to do it. And one thing I've learned through Kenneth Hagin, you know, Kenneth Hagin taught in the areas of healing. He said sometimes why some people takes it longer than it does for others. Not to mean everything's going to be instant all the time, but there's many things you can bring to pass faster. He said some people, he said, because of the measure of faith that they're operating in, he said, really don't have enough, aren't really pushing enough in faith to bring a thing to pass as quickly as somebody else can. So you see, you can learn to develop your faith, and there's things that you can do and learn to do. Really, if people think you have to come to some kind of great achievement, I found out this a long time ago, there's your actions, there's things you can do, and your actions can bring things to pass quickly just by what you do. And You learn to do that. You learn to walk in those things, and you can learn to bring stuff to faith. The Lord taught me and spoke to me personally about that. He told me, he said, you've been able over the years to bring many things to pass in the areas of healing very quick. You can bring it to pass. He said, you learned, and he explained to me. I never really thought much about how I was doing it. I just thought this is the way you do it, and you do certain things. And he said, you'll do things, and you'll do extreme stuff sometimes. You'll do extreme things. And he said, now you've had extreme results too. And he said, because this. And so I found out there's certain things that you do a little more extreme. I found out to take that over in the areas of finances. I didn't do it as much as finances as we do today. But we learned to do maybe some extreme stuff. But now it's just extreme. We had the faith to do it. I mean, it's out of my heart. I'm not talking about doing something just because, oh, I'm going to do something. You better have the faith to do it. You don't want to do something extreme if you ain't got the faith to back it up, because you're going to be in trouble. But you do that because I know I can do it. I know I can believe God and do that. I know. I can know we can give so much or do that. I know we can do that. And it's knowing it on the inside. Once you got it on the inside, you got it. It's yours. And you know, we all fight with things in our heads. Our heads will say, ooh, you want to go that far? You sure? Do you look at your bank account? Because right now, one of the things you have to be very careful that's going on out here is all the talk about the economy falling apart. And you have to watch, because is number one, the things you go back, you have to watch, you don't let fear set in. Because the thing you get afraid, you'll start to get, what happens, you won't listen to what your spirit's telling you to do, and you'll start to follow what all the bad reports you hear. I learned, you know, as many things as times I don't listen to certain things because I don't listen to the problems with it. It isn't because I'm just trying to stick my head in the sand. I'm trying to keep myself in faith. I don't want to get over there and get listen too much about things that are going on, the problems that are happening. Because, you know, we need to be very careful. I mean, you look back, when the presidential election, was it 1968 they had a presidential election? I'm not sure. But anyhow, it was when the first Bush ran for office. When that thing went on, we had Pat Robertson and all them put out those books that the economy in the United States was going to crash, and Pat Robertson must have made millions of dollars putting out that book that turned around to be a whole thing of lie. None of it happened that he said was going to happen. But he wasn't the only one. We're not criticizing him. But they started putting all these natural things because the economy really looked, things looked bad. Things were happening, going off, looked bad. But I remember at camp meeting. I was at camp meeting that year. I think it was either in 1660. That was 60. I mean 80. I'm sorry. Yeah. In 19. I left Raymond in 89. I left Raymond. It would have been 88. It would have been 88. 89. 88 camp meeting, because it was been 1988, I guess, because 1989. That wasn't that camp. It was the camp meeting before. Anyhow, they were going over the things about the presidential election was coming. But anyhow, an angel of the Lord appeared during camp meeting, Kenneth Hagin, while he was on the stage, and he turned around. He says, "Don't worry about the economy." He said, "The man I want in office is going to be in office. The economy is going to be fine." And it was exactly right. He had all these preachers out here, these guys, you know, and it's the same thing that happened in 2000. You know, I'll tell you what, God will sustain things for the church if the church will ask him. And see, the church, right now, we have ministers are getting in fear. They're selling food. They're selling dried food. Get all your dry food ready. There's ministries into this. And see, I saw this kind of stuff go on. See, God's never called ministries and ministers to be out here selling dried food and selling all this kind of stuff and doing all these kind of things. Because it's number one, let me just say this. A person like that, their voice and the person, people that listen to them, they get swayed. People get swayed too easily. And you got, that's one thing I see is I've always stayed away, you know, from business stuff. Because, you know, what happens is ministers start making money off the people that listen to them and start, you know, getting them to buy stuff. You know, it's just like, you know, and I'm just going to say this. There's guys like Pat Robertson and them over the years. I mean, there's more people have lost more money in his ventures than a little bit. I mean, people have lost millions and millions and millions and millions in his ventures. He's doing this because he's a minister that's God's in it. Don't become God in it because the minister's doing it. And especially in those areas. I don't believe it's too easy to fleece the flock in businesses. And that's why I've cautious. I've stayed away from business and that kind of stuff, and I've listened to the